Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines, president of Texas Values. On this show, we talk about the issues of faith, family, and freedom. If you're new to the show, you can also see more information about our work at txvalues.org, but you'll hear us talk about the issues as it relates to court cases, as it relates to legislation, primarily at the state and local level, but sometimes there are things going on at the federal level that we want to inform you about. But we'll also talk about what's happening out in there in the media, in the public square. What are people discussing? What are some of the debates? What are some of the interests? What are the questions people have on the issues of the day that relate to faith, family, and freedom? And so, look, we're into September. We are right at the start of the fall season. Kids are back in school. People are getting back on their own activity schedules. I know my daughter just went back to dance. I know my boys had their football tryouts last week. They play flag football at the in an elementary school league that they're involved in. And football season, we're seeing it on television. We're seeing all these things that sometimes for many of us relate to fall. Speaking of football, big game in town this weekend, Texas versus Notre Dame, prime time, Sunday night. So I'm sure, and I'm probably interrupting if you're listening to the show, some of football. But hey, look, like I do sometimes, turn the volume down on the football game, crank the volume up to our show for half an hour. You'll hear some good stuff, and you can multitask, okay? But a lot of things that have been happening are interesting. But, you know, I want just for a second, there's been a lot of talk about stuff in football lately, right, as it relates to some issues that you and I probably care about. We've got the case of Coach Kennedy. You heard us. We had a lawyer for First Liberty come on that's representing Coach Kennedy who takes a knee at the football game at the 50-yard line at the end of the game. He's the coach. And he's had some trouble with his school where he's had to defend his rights so he can keep his job. Simply because at the end of the game, he decides to take a knee at the 50-yard line and offer it up in prayer. Doesn't force the kids to do anything. Doesn't encourage them. This is something he does on his own when the game is over. And you know, what's wrong with that? I mean, so much of an important part of athletics, of competition, is good sportsmanship. And you know, whether it's football, baseball, volleyball, beach volleyball, we see all those incredible sports over the Olympics, swimming, diving, all these different things. You know, oftentimes athletes are simply offering up in prayer for safety, to not get injured or there not to be some incident of that nature during the actual event and their competition. Oftentimes they're asking for prayer or they're praying in thanks for being able to get to that point and just to have the opportunity to compete. And they're saying thanks for being able to get to the point where they are. I mean, so much time in competition is preparation, being a sacrifice, right? Discipline, eating the right foods, engaging in the right type of practice activities, all of those things, right? A lot of concentration. And so oftentimes for athletes and competitors, even if it's not a sport per se, when they're competing leading up to that point, they put a lot of effort into it. And so sometimes just being able to participate in the game feels like an honor. And so I just think that, you know, so we see a lot of talk about football and as it relates to some of our issues, and it's not uncommon for people to take a knee, for people to bow, for people to do those things in prayer. We also see this discussion about Colin Kaepernick and standing during the national anthem. So we see a lot happening in sports where people are talking about more than just the game. Now, sometimes that can be a little much. You know, it should be about the game. But I think it's interesting how we see the more popularity of athletics and the more that people invest time and money, the more people are interested in what the character is of the people that are involved in those type of athletics. And sometimes athletes use it as a platform, if you will, to talk about things that they care about. And so, you know, we've certainly seen people like Tim Tebow do it, even though he's done it in less of a vocal way. Sometimes he is, but sometimes it's been symbolic. And so just really interesting to see how sporting events and athletics, as they get more attention, as more people watch them, attend them, how much more an interest there is on these type of issues. We got Labor Day weekend. Many people are off on Monday, and you're probably spending time with family. I know that I am. I'm going to have the barbecue grill going on Sunday night. I will be rooting for my Longhorns. So, you know, hey, look, I know there are a lot of Notre Dame fans. I don't know how many there are, but I know there are some in the state of Texas. And so I know that I have friends and family, or excuse me, friends that have attended there and folks. And so, hey, it's all about the game. Don't take it personal. But we'll have some fun with that. And we'll certainly be consuming some hot dogs and burgers. But, you know, not to think that spending time with family and, you know, when you have a holiday that it's just about that. I mean, it's certainly a time for us to reflect about the blessings that we have and also to reflect on the principles that make us great. That's why we talk about the issues of faith, family, and freedom. That's why it concerns us when a guy like Coach Kennedy wants to take a knee at the end of the football game and people are somehow saying that that's something to be concerned about. While we see other issues where men want to go into women's bathrooms and people are saying, oh, why are y'all making a big deal about that? Well, why are people making a big deal about Coach Kennedy taking a knee at the end of a football game? You know, and so you have to think about the way that people see some of these things. And so the reality is we've got such open forums and so many different mediums for people to communicate that there's so many opportunities for the people to get their message out and for people to be reached. And so, but a lot has been happening this week. You know, the fall season, particularly on during an even number year, means we're elections. You know, obviously we have this 4 years. This year particularly, we've got a presidential election coming. If you're not registered to vote, and I know most people are, but sometimes people forget. You move, you change addresses, whatever. And so if you're not registered to vote, you've got a little more than 30 days left. I mean, there's not a whole lot of time left, but you still have time to do that. And so go to the Secretary of State's website and get information. If you go to our website for voting, Free Voters Guide, if you go to the Voters Guide website, freevotersguide.org, you will see information about voting, about registering, and about information if you want to look at the candidates a little bit more. And sure, there's been a lot of talk about Trump, about Hillary Clinton. There are a lot of races at the state level, too, in different parts of the state that will impact what happens. Particularly, we've got a legislative session coming up in 2017, just about 3 or 4 months away. A lot of interest on what's going to happen during that session. And a lot of that's determined by who gets elected, right? I mean, those are the people that are going to be making the decisions. That doesn't mean you won't have a voice. I mean, you're always going to have a voice through Texas Values on the issues of faith, family, and freedom, regardless of who gets elected. But I don't think there's any surprise that one person versus another could have an impact on how those issues go. I mean, there's certainly issues where if one person gets elected, they're going to take a position on the issues of religious freedom and family values. The other candidate is going to take the complete opposite position. So you can only guess what that's going to look like when they cast their vote, at the Texas Capitol. So don't lose sight of that. And we're going to continue to be putting information up leading into this session to get you ready for that. We want you to be equipped. We're going to do that type of work. We're going to be at the Capitol. We're going to be reporting to you what's happening. We're going to be relied on as a resource for these type of issues, not just because I'm a lawyer, not just because we have people that have experience in policy. That matters. But because we have the ability to know what's happened before, to know how these issues work, and know how things should reflect in law and what's happened in the court cases, to give analysis and insight on these issues. So, just had to take a sip of my coffee for just a minute. But there's a lot for you to be aware of, and all of that goes along with the fall season, right? Kids are back in school. You're getting back involved in your normal activities, and that's good. But don't forget about your civic duty, if you will, to be registered, to participate in the elections. And don't get caught up in it's just about the presidential. The presidential is important. There is no question about that. You know, and people, you're talking about, oh, there's, you know, there's all these different candidates. I mean, look, you know, there are two main candidates. You know, I have my view on what it means if you vote for a third party candidate. I mean, we've just seen that historically, that we haven't seen a third party candidate win. We haven't seen anyone have even close to chance to winning. I respect the fact that people are going to make those decisions on that. But those are some of the facts you got to look at. A lot of people that care about the issues of faith, family, and freedom, I know earlier this year were big Ted Cruz fans. It was interesting. We were up at the Republican convention observing some of the things that were going on. And Ted Cruz gave a speech and said, do not write me in. He said, I'm not encouraging anyone to write me in as a candidate. So in case you weren't aware of that, that's been Ted Cruz's position on that issue. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do on that. I'm just letting you know that is part of that discussion, because a lot of people are talking about that. Oh, I'm going to write Ted Cruz in, or I'm going to write this candidate in. Well, Ted Cruz says he's not encouraging anyone to do that. So I thought was interesting that he made a point to state that. But the elections are important. It's not just about the presidential. And so we're not voting for governor. We're not voting for lieutenant governor. But in every Texas House race, there's an election, 150 House members. In many of the 31 Senate district races, and I'm talking about at the state level, state House, state Senate, there are elections. In every state House race, there's an election. They've got to run every 2 years. Okay, so there is someone in the state that you need to look at casting a ballot for. There is an election wherever you live on a candidate that's at the state level, not statewide for that particular district where you live in, that geographic area, but certainly at the state level. You have the opportunity to cast a vote to have an impact on who goes to the Capitol in January. And remember, that session is very short. It's 5 months, comparatively speaking, okay? There are some states that they have a year-round legislature. Ours is 5 months every 2 years. Some people like that. That means the less opportunity for people to do damage to our laws or make mistakes or pass the wrong things. Whatever your view may be, those are the facts. They're there every 2 years, and they're going to be there in January. So what you do at the ballot box has an impact. You know, you hear people talk a lot, too, about the impact of one vote. Oh, my vote doesn't really count. Oh, it doesn't really matter. Or, you know, I'm just one vote. Goodness, how many times have I heard that? And how many times have I tried to help people understand that it's not true? Are there many elections that come down to one vote? No. Okay. That's true. But how do you know you're the one vote? I mean, you know, it just is, that's what always amazed me, right? And I fall into that trap sometimes too. I'm not, you know, I hear that voice as well sometimes. Oh, you know, is one vote going to matter? Of course it is. Because collectively, one vote, you have 100 people saying that. There was a election in Houston at a Republican primary for a Texas House seat in the southeast part of Houston that the candidate won by less than 30 votes. I mean, that's like, you know, all the people on your street saying, oh, my one vote doesn't count. And maybe you said it, right? Like, imagine you said it, your neighbor heard it, he or she reported it to somebody else. They told a couple of friends, you know, when they were at the grocery store or at the pool or wherever you hang out, all of a sudden you got 30 people that are like, yeah, I'm not going to go vote. It's not going to really matter. Well, election was just decided by less than 30 votes. So please keep that in mind. Do not lose sight of that, because, I mean, you don't know. I mean, it could come down to one vote. I mean, there could be a recount. Certainly possible. There are some close elections sometimes. There is no question about it. So do not take that for granted. And we've got information that you can go to, freevotersguide.com. F as in Frank, R-E-E, freevotersguide.com. Check it out. Get equipped. There'll be information. It'll be getting updated as we get closer to election time, but it's not far away. In the meantime, make sure you're registered. Okay, if you've moved from out of state, or if you've changed address within Texas, within the greater Austin area, Central Texas, make sure you're up to date on that. You don't want to get up there and stand in line or go up, or go to vote and realize, oh, man, I didn't update my registration or I didn't update my address. And now you lose that opportunity to do that. There's still time to get all that figured out. You got more than 30 days. Check it out. There's information about that at freevotersguide.com. A lot we talked about last week was on the bathroom issue. There's a new study we've got on our Facebook page from the New Atlantic is the journal, about this issue of sexuality and the debate and discussion about scientific evidence. We've heard oftentimes people that disagree with our view on the issue of religious liberty, on the issue of life, on the issue of worldview, on the issue of privacy and safety when it comes to these issues of gender identity and men going into women's bathrooms. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, Christians don't believe in science, you think the earth is flat, all these things that they say that, you know, that are not anything that we are pushing out there, but you'll hear people make blanket statements like that. I'm sure you've heard them at times. And it's so interesting because if you look at the information and technology that's used and discussed in the life movement about the child in the womb, boy, there is a ton of scientific information that supports that a heart starts beating at a very young age, that unborn children feel pain, that they are uniquely different than the mother. You've heard that argument a lot that, you know, the child in the womb is just an extension of the mother. It's her right to do what she wants to do with her body. When the scientific evidence shows that the child in the womb is a distinct and individual body itself, it's not just a part of the woman. Yeah, granted, the child is inside the woman's womb, but that is for a certain period of time, and that doesn't change the humanity of the child, nor does it change the scientific evidence that there is a difference between the two. They have different DNA. They can have a different blood type. They can have a different they can be a boy, and obviously the mother is a woman. Don't get me started with that issue. There's a new article out that I can't even really get into the details yet because I'm going to have to do that on another show because I just read the article later this week that's very interesting, I guess maybe is the word, about a woman born biologically a woman and went through some type of transition, if you will, to look and appear like a man, but then I believe got pregnant and gave birth to a child. It's a little I want to make sure I have my facts right on this, so I don't want to get too far into the story. I'll try to bring it up next week. Time magazine's covering it, so it's not some, you know, kind of publication that's, you know, that you might – and I'm not saying Time has never made mistakes, but you're talking about a typical mainline, whatever you want to call them, news source that's putting this article out. So a lot of people are going to see it is my point. And I would think they probably did their homework before they published it and that it's about as accurate as it could be. We'll see. I'll try to touch on that next week. But my point is scientific evidence, folks that disagree with us on a lot of our values and principles have tried to use science to say is almost kind of a way to attack some of our views. You know, they'll do that sometimes with just our belief in Jesus and God. Well, there's no scientific evidence of that. You know, what is the science? You know, what's the scientific method say? You'll hear these arguments when there are a lot of scientists that have made that argument for the existence of God and the fact that Jesus walked the earth. I'm not going to get into all that. That argument has been defended, or that issue's been defended quite a bit. But my point is you'll see science enter this discussion. And sometimes Christians will think, oh, maybe we don't have scientific evidence to back it up. So there's a new study out that we've got on our Facebook page, if you go to the Texas Values Facebook page, about the issue of gender identity and sexuality and homosexuality and, you know, really giving some insight on the view that, oh, well, people think they're born this way, or maybe there's some genetic ties, or it comes along later. And so, you know, I don't think any of this area, I mean, whether or not it's settled or not, there's a lot of discussion about it. So now you see folks that are bringing forth scientific affirmation and studies that are challenging, if you will, calling into the question or opening the debate up to broaden it, to say, wait a minute, if we're talking about science and the science is unsettled, if you will, about if there is specific information that says people are born that way, this is relevant to the discussion. If people are going to make that argument and there's evidence to suggest that it's not 100% true, doesn't that have value? And I want to be very careful about how we approach this. I was talking to my staff about this week. We understand, I understand people feel like since a very young age, they had an attraction to someone of the same sex. This is not trying to make people feel like that particularly that they're not allowed to say that or that might not be some personal view. We understand, I understand that people can have felt throughout their life that that exists and that that's how they feel and that's what's come to them. And so not to make anyone that has that experience think, that this is an attack on them personally. But the issue of science is very interesting how it comes into play with these type of issues. It's something that a lot of people feel like is very relevant to many of these discussions. And so I think that it'll be interesting to see how whether or not it's a two-way street or not. If folks want to bring up science to back up an argument, what about the science that calls into question some of those arguments? It's really interesting, you know. And so anyway, read the study. I didn't write the study. Some people smarter than me probably or that know how to do all this. I did study sociology and I took statistics, but I don't know that I ever produced a study myself. So this group, New Atlantic, has put something out. If you go to our Facebook page, you don't have to accept our view on this issue either or whatever. You don't have to accept their view. I'm sorry, in the study. My point is, I think it's really interesting as a part of the discussion of these issues to see what this study is talking about and what some scientists are saying about the issue, because it certainly is being talked about quite a bit. And we've seen all this stuff happen in public schools. If you're not aware, we covered this last week. I want to make sure people are aware of this, that the federal judge has entered a ruling saying that President Obama cannot enforce, or public schools do not have to enforce or listen to this guidance by the president saying that boys have to be allowed to go into girls' locker rooms in public schools, shower rooms, bathrooms, all of that stuff. There is an injunction in place. That means a judge has ruled that the Obama administration must stop. They are not allowed to enforce this and take away federal funding if public schools do not agree with what the president has said they must do on this issue. So in case you missed that last week, it got a lot of coverage. Go to our website, txvalues.org. You can see more about that. That is an issue we've been working on extensively. There are a lot of people that feel like their religious faith tells them that there is a distinct difference between male and female. We've seen religious leaders write about it. We hear it talked about in Genesis, in the Bible, and I'm sure other places. I'm not a Bible scholar, but it is certainly there in quite a few places. We've seen the Catholic Church put out a statement. We've seen Pope Francis, who a lot of people have tried to say, he made that great comment, who am I to judge? So he's got these liberal progressive views or whatever you want to call them. He's put out a very interesting statement about the uniqueness of male and female and his concern, if you will, about some of these efforts of people to try to blur some of the lines on these issues. And so I think you're going to see more and more discussion about people of religious faith that their views are rooted in what the Bible says. And a lot of it, if you will, if not all of it, is related to the way that we were designed, uniquely different as male and female, and them wanting to have that belief, even if somebody disagrees with it. And if somehow they are treated unfairly by the government and someone else, do they not have the ability to say that that is discrimination towards them based on their religious beliefs? You're going to see more and more discussion about that as you see people of faith saying, whoa, what is all this push from the federal government on these issues? And it isn't just about public schools. There is a report that an LGBT group put out saying that, you know, the most unfriendly schools, and many of the ones at the top were private Christian schools. They are coming after the church and private schools. And I don't want to say like they being all of these people. The people that are at the front line trying to change public policy, trying to punish people that disagree with them on these issues of sexuality and religion, and they don't see a separation of church and state even in their own model. I don't agree with that concept, but even if you follow their model, they don't see that. I mean, they don't want separation there. They don't want to respect the church's role to not be governed by the federal government or any other government entity. They want the government to shut them down. I mean, that's my view based on them trying to highlight their complaints regarding private schools. So a lot going on in these issues as we get back into the school year and we see these issues being discussed in university situations, in public schools at the secondary level, and as we get closer to election day, these are election issues. So we're running out of time, but go to our website if you want to find more information about these issues that we've covered, txvalues.org. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We count on your donations to keep us going, to support a radio program like this, and to help us reach the hundreds of thousands and millions of people that we do throughout the year to equip them with the best information to stand up and protect faith, family, and freedom in Texas. Thank you.